Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week's episode of Primates is brought to you by me, Matt Stewart, and my 2020 live comedy show, Monkey House, to the Brisbane Comedy Festival at the Powerhouse from the 10th to the 15th of March. Back home to Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the Victoria Hotel from the 26th of March to the 19th of April. You can grab tickets now with the discount code PODCAST, and that gets you a real handsome discount via mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. That's mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. Now on with the show.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm not joined, as always, by the second banana of the show, host of the gaming show, Evan Munro-Smith. Instead, I'm joined by two even better guests.
Thank you.
This week, returning guest for maybe the fourth or fifth time. He bloody loves it in here. It's Angus Gordon.
Thank you. I do bloody love it in here. Jeez.
That's real nice of you to say.
Yeah,
well, unprompted.
Yeah, you were looking at me like, you better say this. And I felt intimidated, like primates do when they use eye contact.
Yeah.
You were using that on me. You've learned that from the podcast.
I have.
You're really baring your teeth, I noticed.
And you were showing your very red behind at me in some sort of, I don't know if it was sexually aggressive way.
No, it was just aggressive.
Just aggressive.
The rest is up to you in what kind of aggression it was. Yeah. Like a David Lynch film where... Mm. I show my red ass, and then the audience decides what I'm doing with that ass.
Yeah. It's your take on the red curtains.
Yeah. And also, for the first time here in the Monkey House, comedian Jack Druce.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
You've been real hard to pin down. I've invited on you onto the show many times.
I've asked to be on busy. Many times. And
you're always busy doing projects or videos or comedy. But finally, today, you had a free afternoon. And
exactly.
It feels so good to have you in.
No, I'm delighted to be on this. It'd be a lot of fun.
Your comedy recently has been very good.
Oh, thank you.
And when I say recently, I mean ever since I met you.
Oh, great.
I'm loving those videos.
Yeah, thanks, man. I've sort of realized that I got this idea that comedians should, you know, put stuff out there.
Yeah.
Now it took me a long time to... I always thought, you know, dingy bars are... The only place comedy should happen, but
microcast, real narrow cast.
Yeah, yeah.
The less people know about this, the better.
But seeing your success in the podcast world and other things, I'm just trying to get a lot more out there. I'm coming for the podcast crown
okay,
this year.
Great.
We announced this before the show, but fans of Matt Stewart, get ready to despise Matt Stewart because he's
going to take me down in the.
Yeah.
I mean, there's room on the internet for all of us.
I don't think so.
And I'm not sure I'm wearing the crown anyway. Surely it's Marc Maron or something you're after.
Oh, there's a lot of crowns. I feel like this
you're going to collect them.
Yeah. You're like, a duke or I don't know how many crowns are.
I'm maybe like a, some sort of like a
a duchess or a baron.
Or like a crown that you'd have on your teeth. If you've got a bad tooth, it's kind of rotted
I've
out.
I've got the podcast crown on my tooth.
Yeah. That kind of crown. I'm coming for it.
Yeah, okay. You start with there and then you build your way up. People can find, where do they find those videos?
YouTube is Jack Drews, and I'm also Jack Drews on Twitter, which is probably the main places to go.
Jack also streams them in dingy bars still.
Yeah. Live streams.
He doesn't forget his roots.
Yeah, if you can find me on the street, I'll show them to you.
I'll put links in the show notes anyway. Do you have a favorite primate?
Do you want like a sort of a breed of animal or a specific one?
Well, I like both of those, and I like where your head's at, because today's episode is primate of the decade, and I've split it up into three categories similar to that. But so what comes to mind?
Well, I remember seeing spider monkeys at the zoo in, I believe, Vancouver when I was a kid, and that I thought that was wonderful. I thought that was super cool. But also when I was a kid, my family went to India, and I saw a monkey punch a buffalo in the face.
What?
And that's my favorite primate.
Wow. That's the only way you can stop a buffalo as well, is punching it right in the nose.
Probably.
Yeah, I think that's true. Otherwise, they will get you.
Yeah.
Or you can do that Crocodile Dundee. I think that works every time.
That was actually fictional.
Oh, okay.
That was a movie. That wasn't real.
No, he's a real man.
In real life, they had to tone it down for the big screen. It didn't test well when he punched it in the face.
Are you saying Crocodile Dundee would hurt an animal?
Yeah, and he did.
He would hunt crocs. That was his bread and butter.
I thought it was like the Crocodile Hunter, where he would just love them, like give them a kiss. Like he would capture them, but only for kissing
purposes. Hunt them with love. Kiss them, put them back.
Like on the snail.
Yeah.
The other way you can defeat them is with love. They're the two main ways. So today we're talking about the primate of the decade. I put a vote out with three categories. Which one do you want to go through first? The three categories are fictional primate of the decade. I didn't give them any rules on these either. They just sort of had free reign. They had an empty box. They could put whatever they wanted into it. Fictional primate of the decade, real primate of the decade, or primate species of the decade. I'm glad you tuxedoed up, because this is the night of nights in the primate world.
It's all political, isn't it?
It is.
It's all the academy and, you know.
It's been a lot of monkey dinners.
Yeah. I'm interested in the real primate. What do you think, Angus?
I don't want a dissent from Jack.
A beautiful place to start.
I also want to agree with whatever the outcome is from the fans.
Yeah. Yeah, really?
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with the fans.
If you were going to have a vote, would you or you wouldn't? You'd wait.
I'm just someone who announces the winners, but I don't comment on it at all. I don't want to... I'm like the Australian Electoral Commission. Do you know what I mean? They shouldn't come out at the end and say who should and shouldn't have won.
Well, this
primate of the decade.
That is true. I really thought you'd be here, tearing things up. Some sort of a shock jock. You're normally a shock jock.
Yeah.
That's what Well, I've changed my ways, Matt.
Okay.
I've been getting a lot of tweets saying, you're too shocking.
Yeah.
Too shocking. And I've ruminated upon those tweets. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to tone it down.
Okay. Well, let's see if you can hold that up. Because I don't think you can. All right. So I'm going to give you the top five.
All right.
These are real primates. So these are individual primates.
Okay.
It's just
personalities in the primate world.
In order from five.
I'm gonna count them down. Five to the primate of the decade in the category of real.
I'm excited.
Okay. Equal fifth. There's two here. The first, Angus, you know a bit about this one because you were on an episode about it. Coco. Remember Coco?
No.
We were in the car with Andy Matthews driving to his house.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember recording this podcast while I... Were you on that episode?
No, I was. I'm just fucking...
I had a real cold sweat hitting me there. You familiar with Coco?
Not really, no.
Oh, well, let me find my little info sheet about Coco and I'll tell you. I'll give you a couple of fun facts.
Please.
I want one really disturbing fact about Coco as well. That's not fun in any way.
Okay. Well, since that episode, people have said that, because So she killed a cat. That's a disturbing fact.
I remember
she
that.
She loved kittens so much, I think she accidentally crushed one to death.
Oh, man. No, that's not fun at all.
So there you go. I'll give you the non-fun fact straight off the top. Here's another non-fun fact. She died in her sleep at age 46.
Oh, that's kind of fun. You don't want to die in a different way.
You don't want to be crushed by an even bigger animal that loved okay. you too much.
So her, she's sort of famous.
I hear she died in like a gunfight or something.
Oh my God.
I heard an army of cats got her.
Maybe it was a cover up. Did you know she had a great friendship with Robin Williams?
Oh, okay. Maybe I do know this one then.
Yeah, quite a famous.
Mm.
I think they met once. I think it's overstated.
Yeah.
Well, I only remember, and I've talked about this a bit, but I don't think this is an original observation, but like just that I remember seeing the viral clip of them telling Coco that Robin Williams had died, and it did the sign language for something that was like sadness or something to do with that, and it's this real emotional thing. But then it's like, why tell her though? Like, what?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
does she need to know that? And there was something else about that. It just seems like, if you've studied what zoology or whatever, and you've gone this far in the field, and then it's like, what did you do today? It's like, I just had to
break some
just
news.
Do, you know, you got to do obituaries for primates, got to tell them which ones of their friends had died.
Yeah.
Like, such a grim job.
I hadn't really considered that. Just like, oh, if she ever asked, where's Robin Williams? Oh, he's shooting a film somewhere.
Yeah.
He's out of town. He like, but he messaged. He said he's missing you. He loves you.
Yeah, he's going to live forever. He told me so.
I like that they didn't infantilize Coco. They were you're an adult. You deserve the truth. Because imagine if she found out independently.
Oh, that would be rough. You'd be, then she wouldn't trust anything anymore.
You've lied to me. Why?
Yeah.
Maybe Coco wanted to attend the service.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Now I'm very easily swayed. Now I'm with Angus.
Oh my God. The video of Coco hearing about it was a pretty viral video. If Coco had gone to the service and run amok, that would be a real good viral video. Just
Coco goes bananas. Funeral edition.
Someone's playing the organ and that'd be great.
So strong. She's the lone pallbearer.
Yeah.
According to National Geographic, she became an international celebrity during the course of her life with a vocabulary of more than 1,000 signs and the ability to understand 2,000 words of spoken English. That's according to the Gorilla Foundation.
Well, they could be biased.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a, you know, more...
Some
more
sort of independent...
independent review into that.
I mean, they got Gorilla in their name.
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
They're bigging up gorillas.
They're going to be like, oh, 2,000 words. Really? What are all of them?
Let's hear what the Chimpanzee Foundation has to say.
Yeah.
You know, because they're arch enemies, I imagine. All right, so that's she's equal fifth place, equal with Crystal, the Capuchin actor. You familiar with Crystal's work?
No.
All right, she's prolific. Have you seen films?
A couple.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, you might have...
Avatar?
Yeah.
Was she in Avatar?
She wasn't in Avatar. What else have you seen? Well, this will be easier, I think, because you've been in so many. It'll be easier for you to list films, and I'll let you know if she's been in them or not.
Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
No.
Those are the two movies I've seen.
Okay. she's in George of the Jungle, the 97 version.
Oh, great.
The 98 version of Dr. Doolittle playing the role of Drunk Monkey.
Great.
Yeah, a beautiful role. Do you remember the monkey from American Pie? Maybe it was hanging out with Blink-182? Well, that was her.
She's the pie.
She actually brought her role of Drunk Monkey back for Dr. Doolittle 2.
Wow.
Yeah, reprised that role. She's been in everything. Garfield, the movie, Fun with Dick and Jane, The Shaggy Dog, Night at the Museum. Do you remember the monkey from Night at the Museum?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's an amazing... There's a lot of human actors would kill for this career.
Yeah, amazing career. She was in 3:10 to Yuma.
Big film.
She was in the follow-up Night at the Museum's movies. She was in The Hangover Part 2.
Oh, my God.
Playing drug-dealing monkey.
I love to imagine a human actor who is furious that he is not getting the roles of a monkey that this monkey is getting and believes that this monkey is like a fucking hack and he can play a drunk monkey way better.
To the final callback again. Do I get drunk monkey? No. Who do they give it to? A monkey, of course.
Yeah, so boring.
Speciest.
I'm calling my agent fuming. I'm like, stop sending me up with these monkey rolls if they're going to stitch me up at the end every time.
You hear people talk about that sometimes going for little roles where they're like, oh, again, you see the ad or whatever it was. They're like, oh, they picked a good-looking person. How surprising. Why bring me? It's to make you feel better, not me. Hey, we're seeing all sorts of looking people, not just the beauties. Yeah. Some of the uggos too.
And then maybe he got one. Like, there's one role he got where he's just in a terrible monkey suit. Acting in the role. And everyone's not pretending that it's like a Wilfred-style thing where it's like a man. You know what I mean? Everyone's just like, that is a dog.
Yeah.
That is a monkey.
But he'd be sweating. That's his big chance. He's finally got it.
And it flops at the box office. Oh, and it's
And his agent says, well, maybe it's not for you after all. One of the other roles that Crystal played that we've talked about on this show before, have you ever seen Community?
Only a few episodes.
A recurring monkey character called Annie's Boobs, and Crystal played Annie's Boobs as well.
Wow. You just talked about George of the Jungle.
Yep.
Was Crystal in the lesser-known George of the Jungle 2?
When did that come out?
Because I had a conversation about this recently, that George of the Jungle is one of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then there was a second one that no one heard about that wasn't Brendan Fraser in it. It was just another guy.
Yeah, that's right.
And
they
broke the fourth wall and had a joke about how the studio couldn't afford Brendan Fraser. It's a real subversive kind of kids film.
Was it good?
Probably not. I remember it not being as good as George of the Jungle, but...
They also couldn't afford Crystal, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did they break the fourth wall for that? Or third wall?
They hired that bloke for this one. He was like, finally, studio can't afford a real monkey.
That would have been his go for sure. So that's equal fifth place.
Man, if that's fifth, I'm looking forward to this. How do you top that?
Yeah, well, third place, and I don't know how I feel about this. Third place in real primate of the decade, Evan Munro Smith. You know?
That's interesting.
I thought about doing like what Triple J did with Taylor Swift and just deleting him from the count. But I thought, you know, like Angus said, I'm not here to interfere with the vote. There was nothing saying can't be a human.
This is the primate. Stupidest list of all time.
It started with Coco signing.
Yeah.
How does Evan beat Crystal, who's... being in George of the Jungle is...
I reckon Evan wouldn't know 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Would he even be upset when he found out Robin Williams died?
Yeah.
I bet he wasn't. I think I was with him. And I think he cheered.
I told him and he did the sign language for good. So, you know, that's the kind of character he is.
And that's who these listeners have voted for.
Yeah.
As their third favorite real primate of the decade. I mean, he's real. He is a real primate, I guess.
Did they vote for you on this list?
Yeah, I was a few spots further down.
Oh, man.
I was 7th or 8th or 9th or something.
That's
good. I made top 10.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. I was embarrassed to see it. Not only that I made the list, but also that I lost to Evan.
Yeah.
He's not even here for the ceremony.
Exactly.
Do you want to accept the award on his behalf?
I could never. I couldn't be trusted to give it to him.
What do you reckon about those when people win an award and have to accept it on their behalf? It must feel like the most awkward thing. Unless they've given someone a readout precisely.
I love when they play a video and the person who won it is somewhere clearly way better. Like I remember watching some award thing and like I think maybe Hugh Laurie won something for House, but then they... Or, I don't know, something. And then they cut a video of him and he was like just in like a t-shirt on a beach somewhere. Yeah. Just like, oh, all right, this is good, isn't it? Well, thank you. And it's like, he's so cool.
Going
like,
down a water slide.
Yeah. Everyone else who didn't win, this matters so much to them. They've like planned the whole day, rented a suit, being like, oh, please, please. And then he does win. And he's just like, oh, yeah, sorry, too busy hanging out with my friends.
Yeah, that is got to rub salt in the wounds.
I'd love to see one of those where it's like, I couldn't be here because I'm actually accepting a bigger award, the Nobel Prize. And the minute you go to that, you see him and he's not even there. He's just continually like video after video, not accepting every single award.
Yeah. No, there's nothing cooler than being extremely dismissive of the thing that everyone values. If I ever won like an Oscar, I would walk on stage and just throw it in the trash. I'd bring a trash can with me, pop it in the bin, chuck the bin into an incinerator.
I mean, that's funny because, like, supposedly you can't win it without really going hard at the dinners. And so you've worked real hard for it over months and months.
Yeah. So Bud's like, please, I'll do anything for this. Anything. And then get it, snap it in half.
You've literally made a deal with the devil for your soul to win an Oscar. Still just
for the joke. What did you do when you won your Best Newcomer Award? Did you get to do a speech?
Yep.
Did you give the finger?
I asked for a spot at Crab
to the Academy. And did you really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which is a small local gig in Melbourne that I felt like I wasn't being booked at it frequently enough. So I used this big moment to ask for an unpaid spot.
Yeah.
You should do that if you ever win an Academy Award.
Ask for
a great callback.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's still running. That'd be great. Not that I don't think it's going to be that long till you win an Academy Award. Yeah. Who knows? With the you know, the
I think a couple years we'll be seeing Angus winning the Oscar.
And Crab Lab should still be around then.
Yeah. I'll be just like, Huey, put me on. Like, I promise I'll do Lucky Cock. Like, I'll do it. Lucky Cock is another gig run by the same promoter, but it's not as fun to do. But still good.
But it's still good.
I still enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're now on to second place.
Oh, boy.
Real Primate of the Decade. You might not have heard of this one, but it was featured in an episode. So maybe this is the secret to success. Be featured on this show, and then maybe you'll get you'll do well in awards season. So the winner of second place. When I saw that sentence, I forgot that I wasn't saying the winner. But I covered it nicely by saying of second place. Did you see how that was pretty neat?
That was very good.
Thank you.
It's kind of like I'm imagining all the primates are like in a sort of Miss Universe style thing where they're all lined up waiting. So there's
whatever
the one that did win, when this is announced, they'll be going nuts.
Yeah.
And the one who got second place will have to act like they're happy, but they know they lost.
And they're standing there smiling politely as we talk about Crab Lab.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hosting Miss Universe, just riffing them.
Is there like a Miss Congeniality for the primate? Like, not the best primate of the decade, but the one everyone got along with the most.
Oh, there should. Well, maybe that's something that you could award later on.
Have a think
about that. So in second place, it is Naruto, the black-crested macaque who took a selfie.
Oh,
you familiar with this story?
Absolutely. There was a big lawsuit about it in terms of...
Peter got involved.
...intellectual rights of animals and
stuff. That's right. And the photo is so good. It's one of the greatest photos I reckon you'll ever see.
It is really good.
Just... genuine, like, human-looking emotion on the face.
In focus, good expression. They got those long arms to really get a good angle.
And the smile is so cheeky.
Yeah.
Beautiful eyes. I love it so much.
It has the expression that it's like, yeah, I'm a monkey doing this. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, totally. It looks like it knows what he's doing. Fantastic suggestion for... second place. If you don't know more about it, I did a pretty in-depth report. It was one of the few episodes of this where I really wrote out a report for it, like I do on Do Go On, and less people listen to that episode than any other. So I'm like, well, that is clearly not worth the work, the effort. They just want me to hear talk shit about a movie instead. Beautiful monkey and very deserving of second place. That leaves the winner, and by quite a margin, almost... twice as many votes as second place. The winner of the Real Primate of the Decade is Harambe.
Saw this coming, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Have you done a Harambe episode?
We did. Angus and I talked Harambe.
Pro or con? What was the takeaway?
I think we said that... I think I said all gorillas should be shot to death.
Is that what you said? That was the takeaway message in the end.
Yeah.
I'm very pro Harambe.
Yeah.
Sweet prince, rest in peace.
It was a very sad day.
It was so sad.
Yeah.
Did they tell Coco about Harambe?
I think that was all they were doing. All day, every day, they were just looking at Googling deaths
Engaging Coco's response.
Seeing what videos will go viral on the back of the response.
Coco started writing quite dark existentialist novels.
They started telling Coco about people who were still alive, but just to see if they could get a reaction out of her. Just be like, Obama, what do you think?
Did Coco kill that kitten before or after they started informing her about deaths every day? Did they start to warp Coco's mind?
Maybe that was what it was. Out. So she wasn't killing it with love. She was just trying to feel something.
Yeah, like a distraught child.
Wow. For those who don't know Harambe, the story goes that on the 28th of May 2016, a three-year-old boy climbed into Harambe's gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo and was grabbed and dragged by Harambe, a 17-year-old Western Lowland gorilla. Fearing for the boy's life, a zoo worker shot and killed Harambe. The incident was recorded on video and received broad international coverage and commentary, including controversy over the choice to kill Harambe. That's from Wikipedia. I remember it was a real tight spot. What do you do?
What do you do? I feel like whenever there's gun arguments about like gun ownership in America and stuff, it's what people always say. It's like it's safer if everyone has guns. So maybe if we had armed, you know, if we'd armed the gorillas first.
Oh, and the gorilla, yeah.
If Harambe was armed and all the zoo creatures were, then it might be a safer environment.
Yeah, that makes sense, following on the logic there. So let's arm gorillas.
Has anyone brought up why did Harambe grab that boy?
Oh.
Like a teenage gorilla and a young boy. That seems suspicious to me.
Well, I mean, they did kill him over it, so I guess they thought it suspicious too.
Yeah.
The boy fell into... Why was he climbing into an enclosure like that?
Well, your victim blaming the boy.
Well, the boy wasn't the one who got shot and killed. Who's the victim?
Was grabbed by a gorilla.
Okay. Tricky.
Do we know anything about the character of this boy?
I don't think we do.
What was the boy wearing at the time?
I think normal boy clothes.
I just meant if it was like an evil boy.
That was part of the plan all along.
What if it was like one of those cursed devil boys in like a horror movie or something?
Rosemary's Baby or something.
Yeah, how
like
else
that.
Do you get the arms? I feel like I, as a grown man who does rock climbing on a regular basis, I don't think I would have the strength and agility to climb into a gorilla enclosure.
Right.
How did this boy...
Well, I think in the end, I think maybe Angus and I decided they needed just a bigger fence and that would have all been fine. He basically had to get through a hedge and then he fell down a drop.
Yeah.
So he sort of just clumsily fell in while his parents were a bit distracted. A lot of people blame the parents.
Yeah.
Everyone got blamed. But no one, I don't think anyone until now has considered arming Harambe.
I was blamed for this for a while. Everyone was furious. 2016, they were like, you've cooked it this time, Jack. People said to me. My mum was on the phone going, what are you done?
Jack, you suggest, you know how sometimes like an indication that a child is a sociopath is they herd animals?
Yeah.
But this child is like a very intelligent sociopath that knows that the best way to kill real big animals is to put themselves in danger around zoo officials with guns.
Right.
So, like, this kid's coming back every week. Like, next week he's in the giraffe enclosure.
Yeah.
Seeing if he can get a giraffe shot.
I wonder what the color for animals they shoot would be. You know, if it was like a rabbit or something, they wouldn't.
Yeah, I feel like if a rabbit's dragging a boy.
Yeah. I guess it's the ability to drag a boy. Probably.
That might be the line.
Yeah, that's probably a sensible measure, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. It's probably somewhere between monkeys and apes. Oh, there'd be monkeys that could do it too. Some of the bigger monkeys, maybe. You probably would shoot a baboon. Would you shoot a baboon, Jack?
Of course. Boy or
no
not.
No questions asked. Don't you kill
I'd shoot
those
anything I
beasts.
Thought was a baboon.
Growing up in Canada, I imagine you had a gun as a kid. Shooting moose as a boy. Did that happen?
I think that was happening around me. I certainly never had a gun. Nor did my family. But I think there was people who lived like, it was sort of fairly, it wasn't like out in the woods really, but it was quite a small town and there were like, we had friends who would go hunting and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. What would be hunted? It'd be, is it like deer and stuff?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I think deer and like that, there are moose. I don't know how.
I think it's mainly ice. They just love shooting the ice and collecting it.
Oh, yeah.
Then they take it back inside and they let it defrost.
Yeah.
But I think moose are so big. Like, they're so much bigger than people sort of imagine them as. I think if you get... Like, if you get one, you just pop it in the freezer. That's your meat for the season, you know?
Right. Wow. What's moose meat like?
I don't know. I don't think I've had it, but...
Yeah. It's sort of quite chocolatey and smooth.
Oh, very good. Is that a pun?
Is it? It is certainly wordplay.
Yeah, I still haven't got my head around what a pun is, but that feels like that's in the vicinity.
I definitely should be shot for it.
Well, Jack,
there was a it was a bear that got into the town once.
Really?
Yeah, and it climbed up there was like the sort of town hall, and then there was a big tree next to that, and it climbed up the tree because it was scared. It must have wandered in at night when no one's around, and then people, you know, wake up and the day starts and it's like, bloody hell, this is, I don't want any of this. So it climbed up the tree, and then I think the fire department sort of tranquilized it and caught it in a net somehow.
Yeah, right.
It was thrilling.
That was another thing people suggested. Why didn't you trank Harambe? But they were like, it takes too long to kick in. And while it does, you don't know if it's going to make him fall on the boy.
Oh, yeah.
And all these other sort of things as well.
Surely the falling argument also applies to shooting Harambe.
That's a good point.
Very good point.
Like, famously, people don't like get shot and then remain perfectly still and upright.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Get Harambe with a freeze ray.
That's why they not do that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then you could thaw. Is Harambe a boy or a girl? I was going to say
boy.
Yeah, you could thaw him out in the future.
Oh. Yeah. Right, when the fence was a little bigger.
Or when there are no longer any boys.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's more like a Children of Men style scenario where humans can no longer breed.
Well, that is quite an honor for Harambe. Obviously, he can't be here in person to accept the award because he is dead. But would you like to accept the award on behalf of Harambe, please, Jack?
Absolutely. Harambe, I don't know much about how you lived, and I'm sorry that your memory was turned into such a wacky meme. I feel like you deserve better than that, and I hope this award, I know you're up there eating those big berries in the sky, smiling down on us all, so thank you, Harambe, and I accept this award on your behalf.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much, Jack. I'm touched by that. But we have to move on.
Oh, please.
There are still two more awards to go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should we go with species or fictional primate?
Let's go species, and then fictional can be the big finale at the end.
Okay. Well, this was a real tight run competition because there's a lot of species, as it turns out. And yeah, so I've grouped some of them together a little bit because a few people voted for different versions of similar species. So I'll go through the top 10, but I'll go through them pretty quickly, all right, until we get to the top few. Okay, so in 10th spot, human.
Good to get a mention.
Honorable.
Then we've got the eye. You familiar with the eye? Freaky looking monkeys. Not monkeys, but freaky looking primates. Kind of cute, but kind of not. I don't know, really know where to put them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing looking thing. Sort of almost like a possum that was taxidermied. But
yeah. It's like a...
And their fingers are wild as well. They got real long.
Oh. Yeah, they're like a evil dimension of a koala.
Yeah, totally. Evil dimension koala. In 9th place. Then we've got in 8th place, it's the crested macaque, which is what was the photo. The selfie macaque, yeah. Then we've got 7th place, bonobo chimp. They're the ones that like they love sex. And then in sixth place, common
the miscongeniality of the
yeah. Just bonobos just edged out their close cousins, the common chimpanzees who love to fight. Then we have capuchin monkeys, of which Crystal is one, in fifth spot. Then in fourth spot, it's lemurs.
Great.
Someone said specifically Grucox sportive lemur. And someone else said the ringtail, but I've brought them all together into one with ever brought them into the general lemur category. And then the top three.
Yeah.
This is what it all comes down to. It's a Japanese macaque, which is like the northernmost monkey. Hangs out. You might have seen it. Hangs out in hot springs in the snow. Yeah.
They're probably the monkey whose lifestyle I'm most envious of, yeah. I would say.
Well, they're such a beautiful spot, right?
Yeah, you know, Japanese snow and the hot springs. Yeah.
Did you know this about them, though? It comes up most times I talk about them, but they have this weird hierarchy, and it's like a bloodline thing. Where even though there's room for heaps more in the hot springs, only certain ones are allowed in, and then the others sort of act as bouncers and keep the others out. So you'll see some just covered in snow, meters away from beautiful hot springs.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm turning against these classist monkeys immediately.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find like a Bernie Sanders monkey and get it into power and even things out.
Because it was like in the last few decades or not that long ago that they even discovered these hot springs. So, you know, for centuries, thousands of years, they didn't hang out in hot springs, and it's only just happened quite recently.
So did they have similar power structures before the hot springs, or did the introduction of hot springs?
I'm not sure. That's interesting. I should maybe look into that and do an episode on it. Get to the bottom of it. But I love this Bernie Sanders idea. Really shake things up over there.
Yeah. It's interesting. It makes you reflect on how crazy it is how human society works. Because when you think about that, all I can think about is like, what are you, idiots? You're all just monkeys. Get in the water. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's like, well, yeah, same with us. We're equally have a crazy society.
Yeah.
Some sort of way. Not as...
Very protective of areas. You know, this is mine. Piss off.
Yeah.
Hot springs are still associated with luxury and wealth. It is quite similar.
Yeah. It is, totally. Yeah, I wonder, but then the ones in the water are going, I mean, we could let you in, but then we have to let all the others in, and eventually there'll be no room at all. So this is better.
When does it end?
Yeah.
What's in it for the bouncer?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like they're just betas who...
Do they get like some time in the hot spring, or are they like...
Yeah, that should be the reward at least, sometime. Or do they just feel cool in relation? Yeah. Yeah, I know these guys. Why do bouncers be bouncers? Probably for the pay.
Money.
Yeah, money. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they get paid cash.
That would be an amazing scheme if you were a nightclub owner and you're like, you can bounce at this club, but your payment is you get 2 hours in the nightclub for free.
My club is exclusively full of kings and princes. It's just like...
The winner is two different species. First time has ever happened in the primate of the decade vote. It's also the first primate of the decade vote that we've ever done. But
are you going to do a primate of the decade 2011 to 2021 next year?
Yeah.
I feel like it. Yeah. What about the decade 2012 to 2022?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We'll just do all decades. It's a good point. All right, so the winner, joint winners, gorillas and orangutans. Ooh. Tans. Orangutans.
Where'd you get this information? The bloody Gorilla Foundation again?
So a couple of the big boys. Hey?
Yeah. I feel like this is... I'm not happy with this result at all. We need like a sudden death round or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, do you want to cast the deciding vote here today?
Ooh.
They are two of the most intelligent of the primates, apparently. They're both two of the bigger ones. They're both great apes, like humans. One's red, one's... can be all sorts of colours.
As the listeners know, this podcast is sponsored by Indonesian palm sugar.
Yeah.
So we'll be declaring gorillas to be the primate of the decade.
Gorillas win.
Huge. Oh. I'm happy with that result. I'll give it to Gorillaz.
Well done, Gorillaz. You earned it.
I had two.
Obviously, tweet Jack and Angus if you're furious about this result. I'd love to see some fury on Twitter.
Directed at them.
The
top five individual primates were gorillas. So it's only fitting that that counts as well into the overall group
score. That's the count back.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. That makes sense. All right, that logic adds up for me. Harambe won. Jeez, it's been a big day for gorillas.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? Holy moly.
It's huge.
So the real the parasite of the primate kingdom.
I'm really hoping for fictional is King Kong now.
Oh, okay.
Just to get the trifecta. A clean sweep.
Well, let's see. I can do top 10 quickly again if you want.
Sure.
All right. In 10th spot, it's the librarian from Terry Pratchett's Discworld. That's an orangutan. People talk about it a lot. I haven't got around to an episode on it because it means I have to read a whole book. But,
yeah. We all know you're not a nerd, Matt.
I'm not. Yeah, I just want everyone to know. but the so apparently it's the librarian in this world. Have you ever read any Terry Pratchett? You're familiar with his work?
Not really.
It's no. like a fantasy
book. I've read
series.
His name.
Yeah. Well, you're well on the way. And the librarian, for some reason, got turned into an orangutan and then even when he could have turned back, decided he preferred being an orangutan.
Well, I mean, you don't need those like book stepladders anymore. You can just reach up to the higher shelf.
Must be easy to get around the library. Makes sense. Okay, so in 9th spot, Donkey Kong. Classic gorilla-ish one. And a beautiful...
Is Donkey Kong related to King Kong?
I know, but there were court cases about it. I think Sony or one of the companies who was saying they had the rights to King Kong went after Nintendo. And then it turned out that... I don't know if it was Sony, whoever the studio was... It turned out they'd had already fought a court case in reverse saying, King Kong, it's public domain. It's out of date. But they'd already argued the opposite of their own case, which really brought this case down.
Oh, wow. That's why Donkey Kong's always wearing a tie. He's just in and out of court constantly. Yeah. He represents himself.
I know that Donkey Kong throws barrels, but it sounds like King Kong is the king of Kongs. Where Donkey Kong sort of like leads donkey tours for tourists.
Yeah.
You know, he's a working man kind
of
Kong.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Donkey Kong, place 9. 8th place, Detective Chimp. This is a DC Comics character. He's like a sort of like what's his name? The famous detective guy?
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. I was going to call him Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Yeah.
I would love to watch Shakespeare solve crimes.
Listen, I haven't read any books, but was it Shakespeare the detective? Wow.
Detective Chimp is a character. Then Baby Yoda, who isn't at all, I don't think in any way, a primate.
Can you strike that from the...
That one? You're out, Baby Yoda. Then we've got Annie's Boobs, who I mentioned before, played by Crystal. Jeez, another a big day for Crystal as well. Gorilla Grodd, who I think is a gorilla. Another DC character. And then you got Pogo from Umbrella Academy. You familiar with Umbrella Academy?
I know none of these famous primates. I feel like
Umbrella should be banned in the city.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I mean? The government should issue everyone a raincoat and that's it.
Right.
Umbrella, it's just like taking up too much room on these small city...
I agree. It's like little spikes. Where are they? Eye level? Perfect.
Yeah, you can't see anything. People are jabbing you. It's a real nightmare.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, I've never felt dry under an umbrella in any kind of real rain.
Well, you got to get a better quality umbrella. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I also agree that they should be banned.
Yeah, so that is a problem. I don't get around the city all that much, I guess.
Well, you're not gigging every night like me and Jack in the torrential rain.
Yeah. I'd normally drive in. Should be catching the train. Really, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I did a gig once, quite recently, like soaked to the skin.
Whoa.
Like I got caught in a rainstorm and I was on stage and I was like I just... jumped fully clothed into a lake and got out and performed comedy right away. It was really thrilling.
Does it feel good?
No. And I was on at the end, so I was just like sitting around freezing cold for, you know, a long time beforehand. And then didn't even go that well.
Did you address that you were soaking wet on stage?
No, because there'd been so much talk before I was on about how wet it was outside. that for me to be like, and I'm wet. It's like, yeah, we're all wet, mate. Come on.
So you just hear the dripping of like the water running off your body onto the stage.
Sloshing around like some kind of swamp creature who'd been given a microphone.
There's nothing funny about chafing, like watching someone develop chafing on stages. Yeah.
Gorilla Grodd, I'm thinking like, I know all these, but I only know all these because of this show pretty much.
Yeah.
I knew Donkey Kong, Detective Chimp I've learned about from this show. He's a pretty funny character. And his boobs from Community, only heard of in last year. Gorilla Grodd is like the Flash's archenemy. You know the Flash?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's a super intelligent gorilla.
Is the Flash also super intelligent? Does his mind work super fast?
That's a good question.
Or does only his limbs work super fast?
I really don't know anything about the Flash.
Does having a super fast mind make you super intelligent? Or can you only... You can come up with the stupid ideas you would have had anyway, but just much quicker.
But can you like, sort of brute force more and more dumb ideas? Does it, like, the cumulative weight of dumb ideas end up with a smart idea? Or is it, like... are qualitative, so you just have lots and lots of dumb ideas clogging your mind, circulating at near light speed.
I feel like you'd be so world weary. You'd be like 20, but you've had as many ideas as like an 80-year-old. You're like, oh, every day is a struggle now.
Also, why is speed the counter to a super smart ape?
Yeah, it does seem like a weird combo. Have I made that up? Let me look up Gorilla Grodd. I saw him. I know he's in the Flash TV show, but the only time I think we've really featured him on here was when he was against Batman. According to Wikipedia, Gorilla Grodd is a fictional supervillain appearing in the comic books published by DC Comics, primarily as an enemy of the Flash. The character was created by John Broome and Carmine Infantino and first appeared in The Flash 106 in 1959. He's an evil, super intelligent gorilla who gained mental powers after being exposed to a strange meteorite's radiation. I think I remember, you know, Nick Mason from The Weekly Planet?
Yeah.
He's told me before that there was a period where comic book publishers realized that sales would spike if there was a gorilla on the front cover. So there was a period where I think maybe that's why characters like Gorilla Grodd exist. It's because they just knew that for some reason comic book buyers loved gorillas. And they would even put them on the cover even if there was no gorillas inside the book sometimes.
It's just like just clickbait.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's in the background somewhere. Like, that's so funny because it's just like such a real slap in the face to the, you know, the art of story and everything. It's like I've spent all my life crafting these beautiful stories and these immaculate pictures and everything. It's like, ah, great. Put a gorilla in it and we'll sell it. Like,
that's just so dumb.
Do you think that's why Conor McGregor is like the biggest selling UFC fighter of all time? Because he just slapped a gorilla on his chest.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's got a, yeah.
Imagine it's worked for anything.
There is a disproportionate number of UFC fighters whose nickname is the gorilla.
You're a big UFC fan.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy, Darren Till, who's the gorilla. But then there's like another guy who's like the killer gorilla. And then there's another guy who I think is the vanilla gorilla. There's quite a lot of the gorillas and cowboys. There's a lot of in UFC.
Pit bulls.
I've always said if I was a professional fighter, which I plan to be, I would be the cowboy gorilla.
Oh, that's smart.
And I'd come in like, covered in hair and a big cowboy hat.
That's real smart.
Eating a banana with a lasso, swinging it around.
I don't think I have what it takes to be a professional fighter, but I think it would be very fun to legally change your name to Conor McGregor. And then someone's like, what are you, like Conor McGregor the fighter? And I'm like, no, Conor McGregor the lover. Please edit that from the podcast.
I will not. So we have Pogo at number four. So now we're into the top three.
Yeah.
And number three, it is King Kong.
Huge. Huge monkey.
Huge. Ape,
sorry. Sorry, guys. Sorry, listeners.
There'll be a few listeners out there furious right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm hoping all of them.
This is a lot about Matt. He hopes all his listeners are furious.
So King Kong, King Kong is one I don't know anything about because we haven't done it yet. But I think it's a story about a real big gorilla who steals a woman and maybe tries to love her at the top of the building.
I'd love to be a guest on a King Kong episode. I'd love King Kong.
Yeah, right.
It's, yeah, because my favorite thing is because they go, they go to Skull Island and capture King Kong. But then at the end, you've probably seen it, but it's like there's like a big stage show. Like it's a big event that people like New Yorkers go to where it's just King Kong kind of chained up. But then there's still just like dancing girls and people singing and stuff, which I just feel like. And it's and when King Kong goes on its rampage, it's like the theater's full of people who are there. And I just like, what was their evening plan? Like, it's like, this is great. You know, you love theater? Yeah, yeah. Well, they've got just the biggest ape you've ever seen. And it's screaming and it doesn't want to be there. And then, like, I also think it'd be funny, like, just the... like the refund situation at the theater the next day of like, well, I bought tickets to see this show, to see the enormous primates writhing in pain. And would you believe it? It went berserk and so, killed my wife. So
I want at least a 50% refund.
At least, or tickets to something else, minimum.
Yeah. Now I know more about it. But that, so the Simpsons spoof of it stays pretty close to the original then? Because that all happens in the Simpsons version as well when Homer's King Kong, King Homer.
Yeah, I haven't seen the like original one from the 40s, but I've seen the Peter Jackson one that is good despite being crazy long. And then I've also seen the more recent something.
Kong Skull Island. Yeah. So Skull Island's always is always where they go and find him.
I'm pretty sure that's like, that's kind of like the canon.
Yeah, cool.
Of it.
I love it. Yeah. Well, I think I'm holding off doing it, but it never really interests me, King Kong, but you're saying it's good.
You chose to do a podcast about primates and popular culture, but King Kong's never really interested you.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'm a big fan of the Planet of the Apes reboots.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Yeah. But yeah, King Kong, I think I was thinking about maybe doing one of those in April. Make a big thing out of April. Yeah. So I'll have to have you on. Andy's keen to do it. Andy Matthews has said a few times he wants to do King Kong.
Great. Well, looking forward to April.
In equal second spot with King Kong. So I said King Kong was in third, but it's actually an equal second spot with Andy from Toy Story.
Hang on a minute.
Feels like we've been trolled by these listeners. That's Evan's favorite primate.
This feels like a real boatface type swindle.
I think it is. Andy from Toy Story, great pair of legs early on. That's all you really see of him. But he's really captured people's hearts. Maybe I'll get Evan to come in and say something about this before I put it out, because it feels like really with that result, he ideally would have been here to comment. Because you two hate Andy from Toy Story.
Hate him.
You're fuming.
If he was any kind of man, he would have thrown those toys in the trash years ago. Have you seen the new Toy Story? Forky? Yes.
Yeah.
You like Forky?
I didn't mind Forky. I know Forky divided audiences. I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
I thought it was probably my favorite Toy Story film of the four.
Interesting.
Yeah. That brings us to the big one. And more than quadrupled the votes of second place. An absolute landslide victory for Caesar from Planet of the Apes reboots. Familiar with Caesar's work?
Yep.
I love Caesar so much. Caesar did really inspire this podcast to happen.
Yeah.
So that feels good. I'm glad the listeners are on the same page.
That's great. Is Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis. Yeah. That's right. I think he's got to be, I think he's one of the best on-screen heroes all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I should rewatch those movies. They're so good. And they just seem like so much better, like in terms of making you feel emotion for like CGI stuff.
Yeah.
Like League of Their Own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very similar to A League of Their Own, the baseball movie where Madonna and Tom Hanks.
Well, that's my favorite movie. So when I say League of Their Own, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, that's how good it is.
That is, it's a good film.
Do you think Chizo, that monkey we were talking about earlier, is jealous of the career of Andy Serkis?
Oh, yeah. Crystal, did you hear Chizo?
I don't know what it was called.
Chizo.
Whatever,
Chizo. That's so funny. Yeah, well, I wonder. It feels like Andy Serkis is the future of primates on screen. They're the last ape ever on screen in a film was last year, in Hollywood at least. So that's, yeah, that's not going to happen anymore, apparently. Apes aren't real apes on screen.
Because of animal rights stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And plus, Andy Serkis has really put him all out of a job. I think that's the main thing. Yeah. He's absolutely dominated. So, yeah, I think Caesar from... I was pretty stoked to see that as a result, and it was an absolute landslide. So congratulations, everyone who voted, everyone who got involved, but most of all, Caesar from Planet of the Apes. We salute you. Now, do you have any thoughts on these winners? We had Caesar from Planet of the Apes, Harambe, and Gorilla. 2 out of 3, 4 gorillas.
Yeah.
And also a common chimp. So the great apes, really. I mean, and humans are great apes too. We really had a clean sweep there. If you think of us as a team.
Yeah, and I do.
And I do as well. Yep, definitely. Well, that brings us pretty much to the end of the episode. Normally, before we do, I thank a few of the Patreon supporters. Please feel free to comment on these comments. You can support us at patreon.com/dogoonpod. And you support this podcast as well as Do Go On, as well as Listen Now and Book Cheap. It's a beautiful little podcast network we've got. And one of the rewards is I'll read out your name, give you a thank you, and you can tell me your favorite primate or some sort of primate fact or whatever. Firstly, Josh Harmon writes, my favorite primate is the spider monkey because my dad has one as a pet as a kid. His name was Roscoe, and he loved to drink beer and fling poo. Oh, Josh. Sometimes during
and
the
that's
day.
That's your favorite?
This is his favorite. Sometimes during the day, he would climb into a tree, and once the old ladies with their bags of groceries got close, Roscoe would hang from his tail and scare them off, then eat the food they dropped.
Roscoe, baby, what a character.
Is it still a pet if it drinks beer and has shenanigans? I feel like that's just your buddy now.
Yeah, he's a housemate.
His name is Roscoe. It's not... You don't say this is my pet Roscoe. This is my like beer drinking buddy Roscoe.
It feels like we
do shenanigans together.
A 70s pilot episode of a new sitcom or something.
Roscoe? Yeah, it's
Josh,
like,
and Roscoe.
Yeah, in 3 episodes it's at university and the pranking the dean.
Wow, that's wild. Thank you, Josh. I'd also have to thank Stephen Carino, who writes, hey, Matt, my favorite primate is the golden lion tamarin because they are small, cute, and actually resemble a lion. My totally real fact is that if a human bites a gorilla during a full moon, it gains the ability to speak. Is that true? This is why ape in George of the Jungle can talk. Conversely, if a gorilla bites a human, the human gains a serious infection. Cheers. I didn't know that. I knew about the infection thing. That makes sense to me. Are you familiar with the golden lion tamarins?
No, not really.
They're real cool looking.
My dad had a pet one that he would drink beer and do stuff with, but...
Yeah, my dad had one, but it developed a very serious heroin addiction. It wasn't really that fun. It started mugging old ladies, not just for their groceries, but...
Oh, that's a great one.
Amazing looking monkey.
Oh, boy, that's real good.
How's the color?
That should have won.
Yeah. Someone did vote. There was maybe a little handful of votes for the golden lion tamarin.
I'm campaigning next decade.
Yeah.
I'll be campaigning hard for that.
Yeah, that's amazing looking monkey. I'm a big fan too. Great suggestion, Steve. Thank you very much, Stephen. Sorry. Kaylin Rankins writes, hey man, my favorite primate is Diddy Kong only because he made a far more superior Nintendo 64 racing game than Mario. Huh. Is that Diddy Kong Racing? Yes. Yeah. It's called Diddy Kong Racing. I don't think I've ever played it. Thank you so much, Kaylin. You a gamer?
I've played Diddy Kong Racing, which I think makes me a pretty
serious
gamer.
That makes you a gamer, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
I was a Mario Kart guy, but I could see, you know, I don't think they need to be at each other's throats. I think there's room for both Nintendo 64 gaming races. I'm playing a lot of Smash Brothers at the moment, where you can play as Donkey or Diddy Kong.
Right.
And I think they're both some of the better players in the game.
Oh, cool.
So different styles of play. Diddy focuses on speed a lot more and sort of ranged attacks.
Yeah.
But Donkey is slow, but he can hit hard, you know.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So you could pick either and be happy. You just have to play to the strengths.
Yeah, I think actual gamers hate this, but I just pick random characters, so I get
good at all of them.
Ah. Whereas a real game would focus on one and just...
Yeah, people have their like, oh, you only pick one and you get good at that. And it's like, it's about winning, not fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like life.
Exactly. that's all I had to say on that.
You a gamer, Angus?
No. Yeah. I don't play games.
Do you sort of look down on people who play games?
No. Just not for
you
me.
You do, like off the record?
Off the record, I think you're a fucking idiot wasting your life. And especially any monkey-based game is for morons. You backed me into a corner, Matt. Obviously, I just think, just do what you like. Just not for me.
I believe that too.
Hang on, Donkey Kong's a character in Mario Kart.
I haven't thought about that, really. Yeah. He's real slow, right? Big and slow.
Yeah, but...
Which I guess is a disadvantage when you're racing.
Yeah, it's a speed-based race game.
But you can bump people out of the way, and your top speed, I think, is higher.
Right.
Acceleration is an issue.
Okay.
Someone was telling me recently that people hate it when people choose Toad. They're like, what a hack choice. Is he just like the better racer or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like Yoshi and Toad were just real go-tos of being little nimble boys.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Finally, Conker writes, my favorite primate is Carl Pilkington. Ah, he's the sidekick of Ricky Gervais. And I think he used to have a segment on his show called Carl Pilkington's Monkey News. And he would then tell like a made-up story about a monkey. A few people have said that I should do an episode on that, but I'm not exactly sure how I would. But I guess, how do I do an episode on this today? So I probably mean anything probably fucking goes.
You could probably just get your guests to listen to a few segments of that and then
talk about
it
after. Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, all I had to do was say that out loud to realize that what I was thinking was wrong. Maybe we should do an episode on Carl Pilkington's Monkey News one day. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Please give us a review if you can. 5-star reviews I'll read out when I get a chance. And yeah, where can people find you, Jack?
Well, Twitter is good. I'm putting some videos on YouTube, as I mentioned, just at Jack Drews. And if you live in Melbourne, doing a show at the Comedy Festival in April, the month of the King Kong podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So,
which you might be on.
Don't tempt me like that, Matt.
Which one's the one you want? You want the Peter Jackson one?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that'd be the one for me.
It just seems so boring. But you're saying it's not.
I'm saying it. I liked it.
Okay.
I like things that are boring.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it isn't boring, but I think within that, there's things that are good.
Yeah. I reckon it's probably fine. Evan hated the second Planet of the Apes reboot film, which is one of my favorite films of all time. He hated it. Thought it was so dumb. So you just never know.
Yeah, he wished there was like a boy who had some toys and sometimes was in his room and sometimes not.
Anything that doesn't tick those boxes, he thinks is a piece of shit, which is hard. But luckily, there's at least four movies that tick those boxes.
If you like Andy from Toy Story, essentially, and you think he's the best character, and there should be more of Andy from Toy Story, that's when those toys are not alive. So essentially you hate Toy Story and wish those characters were functionally dead.
Yeah, when he's around, they're flopped on the floor. I never consider that. I'm going to take that to Evan next week.
He's clearly an important figure in Toy Story in which he provides the context in which the toys can exist. But like God, if he is present, he denies the toys their freedom.
Right.
And they are unable to live.
So, you're putting all that on Evan. So he hates Woody...
I'm saying that, exactly.
And the others, and the gang.
Yeah.
Wow. And where can people find you for more insight like that?
I post exclusively Harambe memes on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm also doing a show at the Comedy Festival in April, which you should buy tickets for, even if you don't want to attend.
Yeah, I think just buy them because it's a great memento.
Yeah,
print them off. Put them in a book.
You know how comedians do, like, it's like sometimes you see famous comedians, they'll do like a funny joke where they buy all the tickets for like another comedian's show so he doesn't get to perform to anyone?
I've never seen that. I would encourage that prank to be played on me.
Yeah. Yes, please play that prank on me every night for the month of April. I would hate it.
I've never, that. What a funny prank.
I'm also doing a one-off free show in Brisbane on the 22nd of February at House Conspiracy in West End. Be great to see you there.
Awesome. Sick. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. You can find us at Primates Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. and at gmail.com if you want to email us. Thank you so much for joining us, Jack and Angus. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
punch that buffalo right in the face.
And then kiss him.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.